and re-examination and constant thinking and testing. Am I thinking right? Am I doing this right? Am I acting properly with respect to possessions and money? And I would imagine that if I had someone here who could really use the stuff that I hold on to or the money that I waste on things, then maybe they could be more objective with me and objective with you. But the bottom line is that I don't have that right here. And since this is such a prevalent thing in our culture, such an immediate problem, I want to say this. Don't let today be the end of the discussion. We're going to talk about this all day, this morning and tonight. Don't let today be the end of this discussion in your mind and in my mind. Let's not let it be that. Let this be the beginning of a conversation that keeps happening among us and in our own hearts and in our homes. The bottom line is that there are just many possessions that we can fall in love with. And I want you to think about this perspective from the encouragement that Jesus gives and the wisdom Jesus gives here. You notice what he says about all that stuff that we can fall in love with and want to just go get and storm after. He says it basically has a quick expiration date. He says, moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Clothes become worn. Stuff gets old and breaks. And especially in today's culture, stuff and technology becomes obsolete in like 6 months or 12 months really quickly. The archaeological remains throughout the world should be a big testament to that. In fact, God often did that throughout Scripture. He said, go look at that place. You know what I did to that place? The archaeological remains should be really helpful to us. People spent their entire lives building and accumulating this stuff and this grand empire or this house or all these treasures. And you know what we do today? We have to dig to find it, their useless junk underneath the dust, that stuff that they spent their entire lives dreaming after and accumulating and building. How depressing is that? That what people spent their entire lives on is all dust now. It's under dust. Except we also know how depressing it is in our own life. We know that from personal experience. Think about it for just a moment. Think about the things in your kitchen or your garage or your attic or your closet that you just don't use that much or use at all. Probably a lot of people in the United States have a lot of stuff like that. People can't really imagine that much about that in a lot of other places. But that's just a common problem. We can all kind of smile and say, yeah. You know, at one point, that was really important for us to buy. Think about that gadget or that piece of clothing. That was really important to us to gather that up and to get that. What usefulness is it providing for me now, for you now? Not much. Jesus is trying to tell us ahead of time, hey, that thing that keeps happening in your home where the clothes become useless and you don't buy, just know that ahead of time before you go accumulate more, before you go swipe, sign, collect more. Just know you're probably not going to want that as much in a year or two. So maybe do you need it as much now? Do you need to collect and accumulate it as much now? That's really good wisdom for Jesus to point to us. It doesn't have lasting value. I want you to look for a moment at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10. Here's what Solomon says. I want you to see if you can relate to this at all. I felt like I could, embarrassingly. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Can you relate to that at all? Honestly, I feel like I can relate to that a little bit. I mean, whatever I want, whatever I see on Amazon Prime can get there to me in 2 days. And with a quick swipe or sign, I can get it whatever I want. And stuff is made so cheaply these days that you can buy it. You can buy a lot of stuff pretty cheap. Whatever we want, we desire. But notice how Solomon felt, whatever we desire, we can get, rather, is what I meant to say. But notice how Solomon felt about all that. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Solomon has already gone through this process that we can so easily go through. And he's done it bigger and better than any of us here. He's had more vineyards, more homes, more gold, more everything than any of us have ever had. And he says, you know what? It was all vanity. I was chasing something you can't grab, wind. So let's see the wisdom in Jesus' command here. Let's see it. Action item number one. Let's stop accumulating so many earthly treasures. Let's stop doing that. Now, again, Jesus isn't saying we can't ever buy anything or we can't ever enjoy anything that we buy. Let me be clear. You should heartily enjoy the things that God has given you and heartily enjoy the things that God gives you the ability to buy if you see that it is wise to buy something. Okay? You should enjoy that. It is a mark of believers that they give thanks to God for what they have and for what God gives them in the future. Enjoy it. God wants your heart to be filled with rich thanksgiving. Lots of scriptures talk about that. However, action item number one is stop accumulating so many earthly treasures. When does it ever stop? The compulsive clicking, swiping, signing, and collecting has to end. We'll see why this is so important in verse 21. But for a moment, in verse 20, Jesus is going to tell us where we do need to accumulate treasures. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. The bottom line is that it is human nature to collect treasures and to prepare for the future. And Jesus says, don't do that on earth. Do that in heaven. Prepare for the future by accumulating treasures in heaven. What does that mean? We'll talk about that gradually throughout the rest of this sermon, but one thing that we can be assured that it doesn't mean is it's not a materialistic view of our earthly treasures, right? I mean, okay, I infamously hate the song Mansion Over a Hilltop. And you know, if you lead it, sorry, I hate that song. Here's why. We sing, I'm satisfied with a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold. I mean, are we being honest when we say that? Two, what we really want is a big mansion in the skies is what we're declaring throughout the song. I mean, is that what you guys really want is a big mansion in the skies? I mean, I don't think that's what you guys really want. I think what we all want, I think we want to see the face of God. And I think we all want to be with our brothers and sisters forever. So I infamously kind of hate that song. So let's take, so now you can never lead it without knowing that Scott's just loathing your song in his seats. If you have more of those songs, if you want to know the rest of my opinions about songs, feel free to talk to me or John. We've got plenty of opinions that we'd love to shower on you. Anyway, so a materialistic view of treasures in heaven is not really the way to do it. Man, I don't have gold here on earth, but I'm going to do some good things so I can get a lot of gold in heaven, a lot of possessions. You know, an iPhone that is just eternal. Yeah. No, that's not the point, obviously. But here's maybe getting around it a little bit. The end of verse 20 promises us that these heavenly treasures are incorruptible, right? No one can take them away. Now, I think that maybe this is meant to be a little bit more of a metaphor, not like we're going to have a bunch of eternal stuff in heaven. But there is something that is ours, that is eternal. And it can't be taken away. It doesn't get old. It's permanent. Think about how awesome that is for a moment. I am always in flux in search of permanency. This is a big problem that I have. I am always looking for the perfect routine for the day, the perfect cell phone, the perfect jeans, the perfect house, the perfect life situation that's going to be that way forever. I long for permanency. Do you relate to that? I really relate to that desire. I long for just permanency where I don't have to look again for something else. Guess what? That's what God is offering us. He is offering us permanent treasures, a permanent possession that won't be ours on loan. It will be ours forever. It will never break. It will never be taken away from us. And we can have it if only we will invest our heart and our time and our energy and our resources in it now. We can have it. The incorruptible. And here's the awesome thing. Jesus is not taking away the greater thing to give us some consolation prize. He is telling us to stop making mud pies in a puddle so that we can build sandcastles on a beach. He is telling us that we can have and accumulate heavenly treasures if we will stop accumulating so many earthly treasures. We can have it. The eternal, the permanent, the incorruptible, the better. And unlike powerless stockbrokers, Jesus is the Christ. He is the King, and he has power and authority for all time to come through on his promise. It is the investment of a lifetime, except more of eternity. Well, how can we do that? How can we accumulate treasures in heaven? We're going to conclude with that in just a moment and look over at 1 Timothy 6. But before we do that, I want you to notice how Jesus gives further reasoning to his command in verse 21. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The reason for the command is simple. Our hearts are located with our treasure. And what I want to say is, no, Jesus, no. I just collect stuff. I don't treasure it in my heart. It's just a hobby of mine to collect all these things and stuff like that. It's what I enjoy. It's therapy after a bad day, whatever. I like to do that, but trust me, my heart's not there. You know what God says? I disagree. Where God sees accumulation, he sees our hearts right there. As Ecclesiastes talks about multiple times, who is it that has a hard time sleeping at night? People with more land, more money, more possessions. As we always say, more money, more problems. And the reality is, that's the case. Our hearts go where our stuff is. We might dupe ourselves. I dupe myself into thinking, no, my heart's not going to go there when I just keep collecting and accumulating. But Jesus is telling us that in our ignorance, we've built idols that will take us. We can be building idols that will take us away from the Lord. That will take us away from the Lord. And so this is a great time to ask ourselves, God is concerned with where our hearts are. What do you treasure? What do I treasure? Are we really treasuring the things of heaven? So when you read God's word and you read about Christ and his kingdom, is it just reading some information, or are you treasuring up what you are learning about God there? When we pray, are we just praying to get that off the list? Or are we really treasuring our time with God there? When we serve, are we serving people? Are we encouraging people? Are we teaching people? Are we involved in the lives of God's people and doing good works for them? And is that a treasure to us? Is it? If not, why? Because if we're not, as people who are self-proclaimed Christians, if we're not treasuring up the things of heaven, then there's something else that we're treasuring up. So many have said before that we are worshipers. We might not be worshiping the God of heaven, but we worship something. We treasure something. So what is it? Now's a good time to ask, what am I treasuring? And here's a really good way to test that. Here's a good way to test that. Look at your conversations. Look at what you think about. Look at what you spend your resources on. And especially though the conversations aspect of that. Think about what it is that you talk about a lot. Conversations are just a great gauge for what we love. You know what we do? We talk about what we love. We talk about what we treasure. What do you treasure? What do you talk about a lot? Whether it be money, possessions, careers, hobbies, or sports, if it is standing in the way of us treasuring Christ and His kingdom, and treasuring up treasure in heaven, accumulating treasure in heaven, Jesus doesn't say, hey, you know, it's all right to have a little bit of both. As we're going to talk about tonight, that other thing that we treasure, it becomes our master. And it causes us to hate God. I mean, I know I'm stepping on maybe toes here. I mean, sometimes how many people would rather be at a football game than at worship services? Like, how sad is that? Or would rather be checking their scores during worship services. I've seen it here, by the way. During worship services. Like, what do you even treasure? Like, what is the thing we love? See, and what does that cause you to resent? What does that cause me to resent? It causes us to resent God because He's taking us away from the thing that we really love. And so we've got to identify what our treasure is, if it's not the things of heaven, so that we can get rid of that and really accumulate for the thing that really matters and the thing that's really going to last. So how can we do that then? How can we do that? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I will have it on the screen if you prefer looking on the screen. But turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verses 17 through 19. These words are extremely helpful in explicitly answering this question. And before I read this text, I want to be clear. This text in particular is different from Matthew chapter 6 because Paul addresses specifically the rich here. So I want you to recognize that the contexts are different, but I'm going to try to bridge the context a little bit, bridge the gap after we read this. And you'll see what I mean in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and read this text. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Okay. I think there's two key things that we find here. And the first thing we find is that you notice there in the midst of it, he says to be rich in good works. What Paul is telling us to do is to focus on doing things that will last forever. One person said it well. It's not an exhaustive description, but he said this: spiritual treasure should be defined as broadly as possible, as everything that believers can take with them beyond the grave: holiness of character, obedience to all of God's commands, souls won for Christ, disciples nurtured in the faith. I would add to that serving people in the world and the people of God, and probably other things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 that we should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Here's the bottom line. The things that we do in labor for the Lord, they are good works that last forever. As is said in the book of Revelation, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, for their works follow them. The good works that we do follow us. And so, Christian, if you want to store up treasure in heaven, let's look at our lives in a purposeful way. Our goal is not to fulfill the American dream, whatever it is, pursuit of liberty and happiness and a white picket fence, two-story house, you know, that's not the goal of life. The goal, do good works for the Lord because they're going to follow you later on and we're all going to have a secure future. Store up for ourselves treasure that is a good foundation for the future, as Paul says. Second thing that Paul says here is to be generous and ready to share. The bottom line is that many of us have found ourselves in situations where we're prosperous and where we have, or at least could have if we spent less or wasted less, could have or have enough to be able to be ready to share. And here's the cool thing, what I love. God doesn't tell us to feel guilty for that. You dirty Americans for being so rich. Y'all are just terrible. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, man, all you people that got money in your bank accounts and a nice house, you're sinners. That's not what he says. He says, if you have, be ready to share. And I don't want you to think about that for a moment. Be ready to share. I just really love that. Be ready. I think that's a new test that we can put on our spending. Sometimes I've thought in the past that the test for spending is, can I afford it? And I feel like that's the way it's often looked at. Is if you can afford it, you should do it. But that doesn't pass the idolatry test, the wastefulness test, or the readiness to be able to share test. So let's spend in ways that purposefully allow us to be ready to share and not max out everything that we have. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, what is the thief supposed to do? Don't steal, but work. Why? So that he may have something to share with those who have need. But I want to give a little encouragement here. This text is identified as for the rich. I will say most of us are probably in the 1% of the world. I think it's something like if you have like one car and a house or something like that. I mean, it could be a small house. You're like in the 1% of the world. But a lot of people don't think of themselves as rich. I think you're rich. I think I'm rich. But let's say you don't think of yourself as rich. All right. What do you do? You know what John the Baptizer says in Luke? Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Here's the good news. You can participate in storing up treasures in heaven by being ready to share, even if we just have what we consider to be a little bit. If he just puts a cup of water in our hand, a cup of water is all that he demands. Now, here's a difficulty as we wrap this up. A difficulty is that we might hear this and feel like the rich young ruler and walk away from Jesus' instructions sad. But you know, I want you to read this text from the perspective of someone who has virtually nothing. They've got virtually nothing. How do you read this text? In my mind, I think I would read this text and just find great encouragement. You mean that even though I have absolutely nothing now or so little now, I can have a permanent possession in the future that is just rich and full of life? And Jesus is saying, yeah, you can. Maybe if we read this like the rich young ruler and feel a little bit sad, we need to read this from a different perspective. Read this from the hopeful perspective that that Jesus is giving here. We can secure a future for ourselves. We can secure treasures for ourselves in heaven. And then think about it even beyond that. Think about it from the perspective of what Paul talks about here in 1 Timothy 6. Don't think about what you have to give up. Let's think about not what we have to give up, but what we get to help people with. What we get to give, how much we can help other people, how much God can make a splash in the world by using our hands, by using our wisdom and our time and our resources. Think of the awesome possibilities of how God can use you as a conduit to bless other people. For example, through your contributions here, you can bless people who don't know about Jesus to have a better opportunity to know Jesus. Through your generosity in other areas, through our generosity in other areas, we can help people who don't have clothes or as much clothes or are cold and they need a coat or who need water or who need food or who need education. You can bless people who don't have parents. You can bless orphans. There are so many people. Think about all the possibilities of the way God can make and God's kingdom can make a splash in the world through you. We won't boast of ourselves, but as Paul says in Romans chapter 15, we can boast of the things that God, that Christ Jesus does through us. And so, brothers and sisters, let us not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot break in and steal. Because brothers and sisters, where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. And we go where our treasure is. Do we want to be with the moth-eaten stuff or with the eternal stuff? Thank you for your kind attention this morning. Ethan is going to lead us in some songs now and lead us in worship.